basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Eric's going to be back there at the end of service with the clipboard for signing up for the children's ministry training. It's going to be a one-day training. Doesn't mean you're going to commit to the children's ministry, but at least go through the one-day training and you can be a substitute. You can fill in and even make a commitment there. So that's going to be Saturday, February 22nd. Look at our church calendar, and we got some plenty of things coming up. So just stay in sync that way. Sync your calendars with that. Hey, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, and that God, that we could come before you and offer this time. I just pray your anointing upon the word now, Lord, upon me to just share and teach your good news, and that, Lord, that I would just be used of you. So I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. So may we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than we came here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, really, if you just read from chapter to chapter, you lose the whole thought. So chapter 14 actually ends in chapter 15 around verse 11. And so when we back up a little bit here into chapter 14, again, talking about the gifts, chapter 14, chapters 12, 13, and 14, really great when it comes to about talking about the gifts of the Spirit, that they are in operation for today. And he's telling us to not forbid the speaking in tongues, or but the desire to prophesy. If I like this in verse 36 of chapter 14. What came the word of God out from you, or it came unto you only? If any man, so in other words, he's talking to them, to the Corinthians. He's having a problem there. They're writing them letters saying, we got these groupies going on. We got various teachers. Those are espousing certain things. There's a popularity contest that seems to be going on, competition between them. And so Paul just says, listen, what came? You, the Corinthians, you are not the door. There's certain things in Corinth that only deal with that culture and that area that it came to Corinth. That's why Paul says, I don't have this in any of the other churches. It's specific to your area. But to all the churches, he's just letting us know that we shouldn't be this way. In other words, you are not the door that people go through. Jesus is the door. And so we need to, again, unity, yes, but not at the expense of doctrine, of what agreement that we have. Not that we agree upon these things and thus it makes it true. We take that which is true and we conform our lives to it. The Word of God never changes. We're supposed to, as we go through the Word of God. And so, again, we see some biblical trash talking here. We see some sarcasm. He says here in verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. It's going to reference again, we're going to see, or we've already seen as we've gone through 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. Again, we went backwards. We went through 2 Corinthians, and now we're at 1 Corinthians. But when you read through 2 Corinthians, they're still having some issues, and he still has to correct some things. Who is this Paul? Well, he's not around anymore. And the question is, so God, Paul's saying, God used me and my team and Barnabas and others, and we came here and we started this church. You knew nothing. You were pagans destined for hell. You knew there was some missing part in you. We showed you the way more clearly when it came to the gospel and the good news. We've explained this to you. Spent 18 months here discipling and helping you. And let's just go a little bit deeper here, all right? Spent 18 months with you. Do you think that Paul said, listen, there's a guy who says, I can't help myself. I keep going to the temple and worshiping there. You mean you keep going to the temple and engaging in intercourse, sexual relations with the temple prostitutes? Do you understand the people that he's dealing with here? This is the whole culture. You are going out and you're continually getting drunk. This is his congregation, a real messy congregation. And taking from their practices and stuff. Listen, we're all good people. Some people actually wear a suit now and then, right? But we can look at this on the outside here, right? We can look at these things, but Paul's dealing with their lives. Listen, what do you do, Christian? Pastoring. Listen, I've been a Christian now 43 years. I've been pastoring for 38 of those years, as a last 33 years as a 34 years as a senior pastor here, starting this church and other churches. But you know, want and just always being involved in people's lives and just being messy. What do you do, Christian? Let me just give you some not hypotheticals. Let me give you ministry. What do you do when a husband and wife come to you and they say, we're pregnant and we weren't expecting this child? All our other children are grown up. They're all in their late teens or early 20s. And this is a surprise pregnancy. And I'm like, well, we're not talking about getting an abortion here. We're not talking about this. This is back when I was still in the state of California. And what do I do? And he says, well, it gets a little complicated. What do you mean, sis? Well, as the husband was playing, he says, I have a hard time getting aroused around my wife. So we engage with somebody else, and they are intimate with my wife, and then when I'm aroused enough, then it's my turn. But I've had a vasectomy, so I can't have children. So she's pregnant from the guy that they were just using. Now listen, they've been Christians, coming to church for 10 years, knew their kids, taught their kids in children's ministry. Godly people. Big donors from, I didn't know. I don't know who gives and who doesn't, but they made it a point to let people know that they gave a lot. All these. So what do we do? My family knows that can't be me. How do we explain this? But, you know, we've prayed about it. And this is, doesn't God want me to be intimate? But I go, but are you telling me you two met as Christians? This popped up in your life and said, well, no, we kind of did that before we were Christians and stuff. So you brought that in to your marriage when she became Christians. You never followed the Bible when it says renounce those things. What do we do? Well, you're not getting an abortion. But this is embarrassing. If people find out that she's pregnant and they know I'm not the father, they're going to, but this isn't an affair. We agreed upon this. What do you do when someone who's been coming to church for about 6 months, a very attractive woman, never really hung up, but just real silent, and never really, just quiet, never really talked, real sheepish voice or whatever, and then you're just like, okay, this person, she came in for counseling, and this is in the early 80s, and Sister Dunn says, well, I want to meet, you know, that wants to meet with assisting pastor Chick. You know, I trust you enough. And sit down and says, yeah. And I've only known her to talk sort of like this, a little high, you know. And she dressed a certain way, and she almost Victorian. I mean, all the way from the neck down to the toes, and modestly dressed, a very pretty face, and endowed, blessed up top there, and, you know, noticeable, and okay, all right. Comes in and says, I want to meet with you. And goes, yes,
my name's actually Fred. I'm a guy. I've been living as a woman for the last 10 years. I've been taking hormones, and I've grown these rather large man breasts. I've saved up for the last 10 years, and I'm going to Sweden to get to do a full sex change. Yes?
And I've just come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, Lord, and I think that's wrong. What should I do? What do you do, church? See, you think maybe having a little bit of sickness, or, you know, you can't make your bills this week, or this is church. What do you do? This is one of the reasons why Christians in church don't get involved in other people's lives or get to know one another. Because you're probably sitting there, if the person next to me knew what I was really thinking or going about, they wouldn't want anything to do with me. And all of you aren't going to look around right now, but I'm looking at you. I just want to let everybody here know something. You're all in good company today. We're messy. What do you do with that stuff? Either the Bible has all the answers, or it has none of the answers. And I'll tell you, we were able to help these individuals. And this person didn't get a sex change. They didn't, but took quite some time. That now Fred is starting to hang out in the men's ministry while hormones are decreasing and things are going, and letting the 5 o'clock shadow come in, and no longer wears a turtleneck, and you can see that honking Adam's apple there. Like, oh, okay. And then guys coming up and says, well, because I've maybe lusted over you, or I thought about you and stuff like that, does that make me homosexual? I go, well, are you thinking about Fred now? No. No, you're not. Okay. Well, that's church. That's the kind of church I was going to, an assisting pastor of, and that's what my pastor used me. I was the guy who would go and deal with that. And I'm still dealing with that today, because that's what I choose. So Paul's speaking to them and says, if any man think to himself he be a prophet or a spiritual, or let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the command, let him know that these are the commandments of God. Verse 38. And this is right here, Christian. Verse 38, I want you to put Titus chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Put in your Bibles. Now listen, I personally like a hard copy, kids. You can do all the electronic you want. But if you've put Titus chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, this will help you. But verse 38, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Nothing I can do for you. After all this information, after everything that I've given you, everything Paul's saying, and I've spent this time with you, I helped you. Don't you remember that I helped you not go to the temple anymore and engage in intercourse and say that was worship and you're backsliding those? Didn't I help you? Didn't we help this? Didn't we give you a better way of life? Didn't we bring you back to God's word that when it came to marital relations, it's between the husband and wife, can't include an animal, and it can't include anybody else, and it has to be agreeable between the husband and wife. That's it. That's all it is. It's agreeable, and it's a husband and wife. It's agreeable between the husband and wife. It doesn't include an animal or anyone else, imaginatively or in real. It doesn't. That's it. That's through the Song of Solomon. You see all this. That's when. And then the other thing, remember, he's talking to the Romanized world. Wives, legal wives, were just there to give heirs to leave an inheritance to, or leave something to, a property to. Mistresses, concubines, that was for, you know, physical pleasure and gratification. And now Paul's saying, no, wives are to love their husbands. What? You understand, wives, sometimes little girls are raised and they're taught, hey, you make sure you get a good, wealthy man. I just watched a short the other day of an American woman who became the eighth wife of a Saudi prince and talked about all the things that still haunt her to this day. But she knew what she was getting into and you know, got all the wealth, got all the things, and got out with a lot of money. She knew that. That I don't know if that's really how her parents raised her, but I'm telling you, in the Roman world, you were either going to be used and get a high body count and be used sexually and get what you want that way, or you were committed to being married, being raised to be married, and that you knew you were going to bear children, and that you probably wouldn't have physical intimacy with your legal husband that much because they're going to be married maybe to a couple of other women. Paul goes to Corinth. And remember the Corinthian world. Remember even the pagans. The whole world says, at least I'm not a Corinthian. But Paul says, you Corinthians, you guys do in church, the world, the whole known world at the time, uses you as the end of the joke, the punchline, the at least I'm not a Corinthian. Or in other words, you do things, and he's telling the Christians, your meetings and coming together are doing more harm than good because you're doing things as a Christians, as a church, that makes the pagan world blush. Even in the pagan world, a guy doesn't have his stepmom as his wife and living together with them. That doesn't even happen in the pagan world. And yet you guys are bringing that into the church and you're saying, look how tolerant we are. No. Paul's saying this. And so he says, listen, if you're going to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. There's nothing I can do for you. Titus chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says to avoid controversies and arguments and things about genealogy and the law. Warn a contentious person once and then the second time, and then after that have nothing to do with them, for they are self-condemned, they are warped. They don't want conversation. It's not common, not common sense. It isn't common logic. You're not going to be united. The thing that unites us is this, and Paul's going to give the answer, is the gospel. That's what unites us. Your lives are different now, been bought with the price. And now you're bringing back into the church. You guys were groupies of Aristotle and Socrates and all these other sages and philosophers of the time. And all you've done is just brought that in to now this Christian church. And you're like, oh, I like this teacher, I like that teacher, I like this one. And Paul says it's the gospel. It's the good news. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 38, if someone's going to be ignorant, just let them be ignorant, man. Love them, pray for them, and then move on to somebody else. Because remember, he's already told us, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. If you want to make it real simple, I ask people, hey, is Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, is his death on the cross, is that foolishness to you? Is it? Yeah, I think it's foolishness. Okay, well, you're perishing. You're going to hell. I need to go spend my time with somebody else. And then you're like, they're like, what? Just say it out loud. Well, wait a minute. Well, no, you're not interested. It tells us the Bible says that preaching the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You're obviously perishing. Thank you. You've saved me a lot of time. I don't need to spend a whole lot of time with you. And then I'm going to go to somebody else. And then, hey, are you interested? Do you want to know about Jesus Christ? And like, yeah, I'm kind of interested when it comes to that. And so here he says, but if they're going to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. Verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Moreover, what does that mean? Everything is just said and more. That would be like instead of saying, I double dog dare you, you just say, I triple dog dare you, right? You jumped over the double dog and went right to the triple dog dare you. Listen, moreover, everything has just been said. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and whereupon ye stand. What do you stand upon? The gospel. This is it. This is our unifying thing. This is it. Christ crucified. That's it. That's why when you talk to other people and you find out they're Christians and then they find out your name and you got your name, you're a Christian. What's the third question? Where do you go to church? You know it's coming, so avoid it. Sideslip it. You know they want to. And then you find yourself. Every time I say this, then this week you're like, oh, I asked somebody where they went to church. I can't believe I did that. We're pathological that way, all right? But I'm letting you know it's coming. And you find, you're a Christian, so am I. Isn't it great that it's Jesus Christ who paid for our debts on the cross? Could the songs we sang here today in worship, could it be sung in other churches with other people? Could it be with other Christians? I mean, look at the words. We're just singing doctrine. And so just avoid it and just start talking about it. And then you'll find out if it really is Christ crucified. And you'll find out when they say they're a Christian and maybe they believe that Jesus is the half-brother of Lucifer. Oh, you're a Mormon. Or maybe you talk to them, they say, I'm a Christian. But then you find out that they say that, well, Jesus is actually Michael the Archangel. Oh, you're a Jehovah's Witness. And then when you find out that, when you're talking to them and they say they're a Christian and you find out that Jesus was just an ascended master. Oh, you're into yogi and boo-boo, right? You're into yoga. You're into Eastern mysticism. Then you talk to them. They say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Say, okay, they're a Christian. And then you find out that they are Christ within themselves or they're ascending or they're in their own God consciousness there. Oh, you're a Christian Scientist. Okay, I get that. You're a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm in Minnesota. I'm from Minnesota. Oh, yeah, sure, you betcha. Just because someone says they're a Christian, no. And that's why when I take tours around the world, especially when it comes to Israel, and I have to train it out of you. I have to train Christianese out of you. And you have to practice saying this, and you might as well practice now. When people ask, are you a Christian? Say, no, I'm a believer. Because when you say you're a Christian in Israel, that means you're part of the crusaders who raped and pillaged that country and made everybody submit and you killed Jews and you're responsible for the Holocaust. You understand, Orthodox Jew believed that Hitler was a Christian because he used the writings, the anti-Semitic writings of Martin Luther and many other German theologians who said that the Jews lost their place with God, they killed God, and now Israel, the church has become Israel. That's nothing new to us right now. So say, no, I'm a believer. And they go, a believer, yeah, in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Really? So am I. That's true, really. And now you're in a conversation. And it's only later that you tell them, oh, isn't it great that the Messiah, what the Messiah does for us? And like, well, you talk in such a way like you know the Messiah. I do. Well, who's yours? Yahweh, Yeshua. Just as, and so here he tells him, if you're going to be ignorant, stay ignorant. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you that the gospel which I preach unto you, which by which ye stand. Let me ask you, do you stand on it? Does that get you through the day? Does no matter what's happening, what comes down the road, whatever comes, it's just shot at you, brought to you. I got the gospel and I know I'm going to be in heaven someday. And so here he says, by which also you are saved. What are we saved by? The gospel, the good news. Jesus Christ paid the debt for yours and I sin. Jesus Christ, who was perfect, the perfect sacrifice. He was the human sacrifice, the Lamb of God. God provided himself the sacrifice and paid the price for you and I. And because of that, that's the gospel, that's good news, and that we're not going to hell. That's what saves us, is that forgiving, atoning blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you and I on the cross. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You want to put Romans chapter 1, verse 16 there. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 tells, because this is Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power unto salvation to them that believe in him. It's not just having an intellectual idea and understanding of him, but unless you believed in vain. So remember, verse 1, what are you standing on? That gospel of good news, which is, verse 2, which saves us. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. There's nothing new in the New Testament, folks. This is part 1. I'm doing 1 Corinthians 15 in two parts. This is part 1. Here's my challenge to you this week. Download a flyer or go to the back table and get a flyer. And this week, invite somebody to church for Sunday service, especially a week from today, because I am going to go through the Scriptures. I am going to apologia. I am going to go through the Scriptures. I'm not going to go through all 372 detailed prophecies of the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. I'm going to go through quite a few of them. And I want you to purposely look at inviting somebody here to either get them, if they're not a believer, we're going to pray that they get saved. There's some people I've been ministering to and I'm talking to, and I'm praying this one young man in particular comes next week, but I've been praying for him to come every week. But specifically next week, that you will be equipped to share the gospel with others, but you're going to know some things. This isn't a check your brain at the door, mind-numb Christianity. This is an intelligible, this is a faith that's based on science, right? No, this is a faith that's based on actual, verifiable facts and eyewitness accounts outside the Bible and in the Bible. So I want you to get a flyer and invite somebody that maybe doesn't know Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, or maybe they do, but they're not in church. I don't want you to go poach from another church. They're not in church, not going anywhere, not committed to anything. Or maybe they go to one of those churches that they think that they're Christians. And just say, hey, I'd like you to come. Put a crock pot on, put some food on, whatever. Say, hey, and we're going to go to, and you come to my house afterwards because I want you to follow up afterwards. Or you got the money, take them out to breakfast somewhere. You know, all roads lead to Keys, bacon, whatever. Just do something, invite somebody, and then say, hey, and then I want to come to, and then maybe you're an early riser, say, tell them you're going to come to breakfast and take them to breakfast morning, and then you're going to come here, whatever. Get them here next week. And this is probably very scary for some of you because you've never invited anybody, or you've tried early on in your walk with the Lord and you just don't anymore, and people should know that you're Christians, and or you don't want to invade. There are people dying and going to hell, and there are people in messy, messy lives. And know that this church, it might not be you. You might not be able to deal with a Fred or another married couple pregnant with somebody else, or you might, but I can. And I've got other leaders here that have raised up that we get involved in people's lives, and we help them and we assist them. That's why it's not a pithy saying when I say reach, teach, mend, and send. I believe lives are broken. And you and I, as the body of Christ, we stand on God's word, we can be used to mend people's broken lives, hurt lives, shattered lives, help them walk through forgiveness of people that have perpetrated sin upon them, help set you free that you can. Because what is Paul doing? Paul was a murderer, by the way. See, you have no connection to that. And here, none of you have any connection to me and the crimes that none of you have suffered by my crimes. You weren't burglarized by me. You weren't robbed by me. You weren't extorted or blackmailed by me. None of you have any connection to my past unchristian life. And so I'm just a warm, fuzzy guy who likes hard salami and extra sharp cheddar cheese. And I don't care. I'm not. It could be white cheddar or orange cheddar. I can go either way on that one. But here, I know the sin that I have been forgiven. Do you know the sin that you've been forgiven? And so that's why I want you this week to just pray. I mean, if you look at our outreach, you look at our website, and listen, our website is a working website. There's a lot of resources and tools for you. And you can go to our evangelism, our outreach section, and you can look at the Brother Andrew card. Some of them are back there. I do it every year. There's a spot for six names on there that not people around the world, but six people that you specifically are praying for, that you would get them to come to church, get them ingrained here, and part of this. And the other thing is that I would encourage you, is not also being in home fellowships, but I'm letting you know we're messy as a church and we're messy as a people. And if you are not making yourself vulnerable to one another, you're being selfish. Each and every one of us has something to give to the other. Right? Now, I might come from the low element of the criminal family lifestyle that I grew up in, the crime family, and all the way through to, you know, where I'm at today. And maybe, you know, you come from, hyper wealth or whatever, but we're all coming to church together and we all have something that we can share with one another because it's the gospel. It's the one thing that we all stand on. And realize what's coming to church in Corinth. Not only are those who participated in temple worship, which means intercourse with a boy or a girl or a man or a woman or man and man, woman and woman, girl and girl, whatever, in the temple prostitute, but those temple prostitutes who were either sold themselves into the sex trade or were conquered slaves or conquered people from another people group that was conquered by Rome and put into that slavery and sold to that, but they're getting saved and they're coming to church together. Coming to church together. You know, it stopped me as a believer, young in the Lord, ushering at the door. First thing I got there, I got to usher at the door and greet people. And I'm new in the Lord, and there's a guy that I particularly did not care for. And he was pranking me and doing things and was persecuting me. And I had him, because my go-to was to neutralize the situation physically, and I was just going to knock him out. And what stopped me, which before then had never stopped me before. And again, none of you have a connection. Maybe if my brother comes back and visits, when my mom was alive and she was here, you asked her and pumped her for stories. And my daughter got to be around some friends I grew up with since I was 4 years. She heard some stories and made a hair on the back of her neck stand up. She goes, I knew some stories, but I didn't know the whole story. So none of you have this connection to me. But the thing that stopped me early on of not hitting this guy was not my love for Jesus Christ. Was not that this would be sin and this would be wrong. My thought would be is that if I did this to this guy, this is what was going through my head, and I was going to cause seriously bodily harm to him. And I just didn't cause seriously bodily harm to somebody. See, I was raised a fourth generation crime family. You hurt someone in such a way, they don't even think of retaliating. You just don't hurt somebody. You do in such a way that they would talk themselves out of getting retribution. You let them think that what I gave you as a beating was a good treatment. What stopped me was, what if I'm out there greeting people at the door? And this guy's searching for Jesus because he had some pain in his life, and now he's looking for some comfort. And there I am at the door. Hi, welcome to Calvary Chapel. That's what stopped me. Ministry stops. I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to do those things. I'm like, what is it? That's what stopped me. Never, literally, I'm ready to do bodily harm to this guy. And what stopped me is that this guy might come to church and see me there. Why? Because the same thing as I read through 1 Corinthians, as I study a little deeper, I'm like, wow. The thing that comforts me in 1 Corinthians, I mean, I was horrible and I was bad, but not as bad as these guys. And now Paul's talking to the ones who are Christians. And you're still Christians and doing those things? Because of serving the Lord and doing those things. I want to be involved in people's lives. I don't want them to turn away from church or turn away from any ministry I'm doing because of my poor witness or bringing those things in. And no one told me these things. I would read the Bible and says, I need to conform to this. That's why I got myself a red letter edition Bible, all the words of Jesus in red. And I would just read the words of Jesus. I don't know all this other stuff, but I'm just going to read the words of Jesus. And I'm just going to try to be like Jesus. I'm just going to try to find the answers. And you know, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, erroneously titled the Sermon on the Mountain, but it was the teachings to his disciples. If you just follow Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the words of Jesus, and that's all you ever read for the rest of your life as a Christian, you would have plenty on your plate to be doing for the rest of your life. Now, the rest of the New Testament letters gives us the application of others taking the words of Jesus, and this is how they're lived out. And that's all Paul's doing here. And after this, he tells us here, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." According to the Scriptures. Next week, I'm going to give you the Scriptures, but I'm also going to give you outside evidence of the Scriptures as well. And he that was, and he tells there in verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, Cephas meaning Peter. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James and of the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of time. This is why you go back to Acts chapter 1, and before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon their life, they were told to wait in Jerusalem. They said, well, you know what? Judas went out and hung himself. He's not here. He's one of the 12. Peter looked logically at the Scripture, says that there's one that needs to come and take his place. So they cast lots, threw dice, and they took three of the guys there, and one of them fell upon Matthias. Anyone ever heard of Matthias again? It's the last we hear of him. And they said the lot fell on him, and that's what we're doing. After that, they didn't function that way anymore, after the Holy Spirit came upon them. And this is the Apostle Paul. You see, God is the one who put the 12 apostles together, and it would be God who would give them Saul of Tarsus, who would later become Paul the Apostle. And Paul's making a reference here. I was the one born out of time. He's applying himself in that scripture that Peter and the other 10 were using that, oh, obviously wants to take his place. Here's how they're doing. I guess God has left that up to us to figure out who that is. I've said that. Do you think God's left it up to you to figure out who you're going to marry and the things you have to do? Do you think God has left it up to you what job to take and what church to go to? Do you think God has just said, here, you're saved now and it's all up to you? We're still supposed to be seeking him for guidance. And so here, Paul says, I was that one. Last he came to me and he was like one born out of time. For I am the least of the apostles and not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. Paul was a murderer. He split up families. He's one to cast the first stone, with most likely with Stephen there in Acts chapter 7, giving consent to his death. He tore families apart. He was used of the synagogues of that day to go after and get wayward Jews who left Judaism and persecute the Christians and separate families and kill people, all in the name of his God, which Jesus said, some will persecute you and even kill you and think that they're doing a service for God. They're going to be so confused. He says here, but by the grace of God. You might want to underline that one, Christian. Grace. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than all they, that yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, we so preach, and yet you have believed. We'll pick it up there next week, but go a little bit past. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. From verse 12 on through 50 is where we're going to be next week. And we're going to go through a lot of the scriptures here. But look at verse 51. So we're in a parenthesis right now. Verse 12 through 50 is like a parenthesis. He's going to explain, but then he's going to continue, pick up his thought in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sounds like a good song. Someone ought to put that to a song, right, for worship. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really think he's just left anything up to you? It's up to me to figure this out. It's up to me to figure out where we should live, where should we go to church, who I should marry, what career I should have, what I should do for ministry. It's really up to me. I just got to go through and no. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he means you sisters too, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as you know that your labor is not in vain. So understand where we're going to end up next week, that your labor is not in vain. But this week, challenge you. And if you don't bring somebody to church, still come to church. Don't just work at it. And I do not care if you tell somebody, listen, I need somebody to come. It's bring a pagan week or something. I need somebody to come to church with me. I just need you to come to church with me. I'll do whatever it takes. Whatever. I don't care if you get that person here and you're embarrassed that you didn't bring somebody to church, and that's why you brought somebody to church. I don't care if it's on the off-ramp. We know people do that. What do I care that they come here and they get saved? They're not going to be upset at you. I do have one person who still upset me the way he got saved because I was mean to him, but I found him another church to go to, but that's his claim to fame, is I did it wrong. But you're not going to hell. But anyways, but here's the thing. It's not left up to you. Pray. Get that brother Andrew. Andrew brought his brother to Christ. That's what we call it, the Brother Andrew Project. And just specifically pray. God, who could come here? Whether they are a Christian, maybe you met a Christian, they're not in church. Get them plugged into church. Get them plugged in here. And the final thing why Christians don't invite people to church, or they don't do these things, because you're not involved with the other people here. You're not involved with the other people here. We're a church that gets our hands messy, folks. And I'm a messy pastor. Okay? Don't let the suit fool you, all right? I just wanted to make sure Bob knew what I was going to wear at his funeral so he could see it ahead of time. You okay, Bob? All right, there you go. But here's the thing that it comes to you and I, folks, is that you get that opportunity, whether it be your neighbors, whether it be that youth minister who challenged a kid in his youth group to go get the worst kid in school and befriend him. And that's what someone did for me in junior high. And it was one of the things that led me to Christ, because I saw somebody living out true Christianity and could be that. I'm giving to you that which I have received. Too much is given, much is required. That's the same thing for you and I, folks. We're to go out and to give this thing that we received. So I would pray, if you haven't benefited from the resources, from our website, from physically being here, then you're missing out on all the resources and all the love that we have for one another, to give one another. And the sin we bring too, because we're sinners saved by God's grace. So it's going to be messy, but we're going to work through it together. There's people who aren't attending church here because they have problems with other people who come to church here. And I'm trying to work reconciliation with them. I go, well, praise God. We got two services. Figure out which service you can go and avoid each other at, or whatever. But just keep coming. Let's work this through. And I just want to let you know, folks, each and every one of you, even Shannon, you're in good company. Sinners saved by God's grace. So, Lord Jesus, thank you. May we all just be challenged. Lord, I just plead even for that one kid in particular, but I got a few others, but the one in particular who needs to come and hear these things. And if after that he wants to remain ignorant, it's on him. But Lord Jesus, that each and every one of us would just take this opportunity and this time to delve more into your word, this gospel, this good news by which we stand upon, and trust you, Lord Jesus, where you guide, you provide. You've left nothing up to us. When you said it is finished on the cross, it is finished. There's nothing left for us to do. We get to do. We get to participate and be a part of this. So, Lord Jesus, just do that work in our lives. Bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.